This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 12, vocabulary, where to find it, and what to do with it. You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we are here to show you how to get the 7 that you need on your next IELTS exam. Subscribe to our show and join Jessica Beck, the Examiner of Excellence, and Lindsay McMahon, the English Adventurer, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, and Boston, Massachusetts, USA. In today's episode, you'll learn the 3 steps for building a more dynamic vocabulary for the IELTS exam. Hey, Jessica!
Hey, Lindsay! What time is it? It's IELTS time!
It's IELTS time, my favorite time of the day. I don't know about you.
Oh, I have IELTS time every day. It's a very special time I spend with the test. I get all dressed up. I make some tea. Just kidding.
And you get to know the test. I like it.
That's why I have so much knowledge, because I spend so much time with IELTS.
I know, the knowledge is just pouring out. It's just amazing. I love it. It's fantastic. Let's keep it coming.
All right. So today we have a very interesting topic that will help anyone taking the IELTS test, but it will help everyone learning English, really. We're going to talk about how to increase vocabulary range, which is something that, you know, they're graded on IELTS, but you know, you also need it to understand things that you read and listen to. So this is a huge topic.
This is pretty huge. And what does the word range even mean? I mean, that's really where we want to start here, right?
So range is it's everything from one extreme to the other. So it could be from informal to formal. So it would be words that you could talk, that you could use with friends on the street, you know, slang, but also academic words that you need in essays and job interviews and such that are, you know, more formal situations.
Yeah, it seems like this might be one of the things that the examiner looks for on the speaking section, isn't it? I feel
it definitely
like this might be.
Yeah. So the four descriptors, the four groups that students are graded on in speaking and writing, one of the groups is called lexical range. So that is something that we look for, is the vocabulary range. I feel like I just said range like 20 times.
Range. Say it one more time.
Range.
So then this is a good one to be talking about, because our listeners really, we know that the speaking section is a big challenge for them. Mm. So we want to help them. And I guess the vocabulary range issue is it just on the speaking section, or is it also on the writing section?
It's everywhere. Because they're graded on their vocabulary and writing as well. So they need enough vocabulary to discuss a lot of different topics, because, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And you have to have enough range to be able to paraphrase or say something in many different ways using synonyms and such, so you don't repeat yourself so many times. But it's not just active vocabulary. We also need this range in our passive vocabulary, so we understand the reading and listening, what they're talking about in all the different topics. So it's everything. Okay. It's everywhere.
Okay. Well, in that case, we're going to come back to this topic many times in the future, guys. So don't worry. It's not just one time. But today, let's give a really awesome overview of what the 3 things are that our listeners want to think about when they try to expand their vocabulary range.
Yeah. So 3 important things. First, you need to know where to get the vocabulary, how to record it, and then how to remember it. You know, those are the three steps. And some students maybe do 1 or 2 of these, but you really need all 3 to really learn new words.
Well, let's go to resources first then. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
What you just said. I was going to say that.
Okay, perfect. So where can we find these awesome resources to expand our vocabulary range? I mean, where should we go to look?
I think newspapers are the place to go, because you can get more informal writing in like the opinion section, or even looking at different topics like travel or movie reviews or restaurant reviews. And different newspapers will have different levels. So the New York Times will have very high level vocabulary, but USA Today will have more understandable vocabulary.
Okay. So do you recommend that we try all of those, or we just choose a level that's right for us? Or are we actually using all these different
Use them all. I think that's the only way to get the range, really. You can't rely on just one resource. So I think a good idea is to choose two newspapers or two magazines even. But I think newspapers are better because there are more topics that you can choose from online. So I would recommend USA Today. Because it is lower level. I think I read that it's written for like an eighth grade reading level. It's a, you know, more understandable. And then for that really high level stuff, the New York Times is an awesome resource.
In part three of the IELTS speaking section, there's a very specific way that you can use vocabulary range to reach the score that you want on the speaking section of the IELTS. To find out what that is and to get a great example, go to allearsenglish.com/evaluation to download your cheat sheet for free. Go to allearsenglish.com/evaluation. See you there. Another one that I think is good is The Economist, although that might be a little too financial, but I think that does have some really high-level vocabulary words.
Wait, which one?
The Economist.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. Really high-level. Yeah, that's a good recommendation for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so New York Times, Economist, USA Today. I know that Metro magazine, I know that New York Metro has, or sorry, AM New York, I think is what it's called. It's also kind of a lower level one.
Oh, great.
But it's a really interesting online magazine that you can learn a lot about what's happening in New York.
And, you know, every city in America has city papers. So if you're interested in one city, like maybe you watch Portlandia and you're interested in the city of Portland, the Willamette Week magazine, WW Week Online, has great articles. But any city in America that you are interested in learning about will have its own city paper online. Also, NPR.org. So, of course, NPR is a radio station, but it has all the news articles online also. So you could get the listening and the transcripts and reading the articles. So that's a lot of skill practice right there, plus getting that huge range of vocabulary from all the different types of radio shows.
Yeah. And the other thing that I like about NPR is that, well, in a previous episode, we talked about getting a variety of accents.
Right.
And I often assign NPR to my high level students because all of the interviews are interviewing different people with different accents.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a great resource. Let's see. Really, so we know where to look now, but then what should we do? What should we do with all this?
What do we do with these newspapers? We have them on our desk in front of us. Now what do we do?
I think one of the most important things is to give yourself a limit, because if you try and write down every new word, like, that's impossible. You can't learn that many words. So I think 5 words a day, or, you know, for every article you read, choose 5 words. So decide on a limit first. And then when we write those words in our vocabulary notebooks, you should have a notebook just dedicated to vocabulary. Lindsay, what do you think? What's important to write down?
Yeah, I mean, I think we want to learn these words in context, right? So some kind of clues about where you read them, like what kind of article did you read them in? What was the story about?
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, because I think we want to be really careful about lists, right? I know a lot of our listeners like to make lists, and we've talked about this before.
I love lists too. I don't blame them.
Hundreds of words, and then in the end, we don't know what they mean. We don't know how to use them. So I would say focus on context.
For sure. I think, you know, that's a great idea, is to maybe write the title of the article, and then underneath it, maybe like a one sentence summary in your own words. What was this article about? Yeah. Which that in itself is a great reading skill for the test, because you need to be able to skim for main idea and gist. So being able to summarize in one sentence, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So maybe write down the title in a one sentence summary, and then under that, write down the five words that came from that article. So I think part of speech is important. So noun, verb, adjective, and then a definition, but in your own words. So don't just copy it from the dictionary, because that doesn't that doesn't mean that you understand it. You're just copying it.
Right. Make it yours. Make it yours. And you mean in your own words in English or in your native language?
That's a good question.
That's an important question.
I think, you know, I used to be on the side of no first language. Do not write your first language in there anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I've grown in my views.
And I think
honestly, it's totally fine to have a translation in your first language, as long as you also have English. You know, you need to have the English definition too. But honestly, whatever gets that word in your head so you remember it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think it also depends on your level, right?
Sure,
if you know that you can define that word successfully and coherently in English, there's no reason to be using your native language.
Sure.
But I like the idea that you're opening your mind, Jessica, to the idea that sometimes it is appropriate to use our native language.
Yeah.
It just depends on your level. You have to know yourself as a learner.
Yeah. So, exactly. So if you're high level and if you are able to, you know, write a really good definition in your own words, and that's enough for you, that's great. But of course, so if you're just starting out, you know, maybe pre-intermediate, even intermediate, then it's okay to write a translation in your own language also.
Okay.
Yeah. And then.
So then after and then what do we do after that, Jessica? After we've written these down, we have these lists of vocabulary words. Now what are we going to do
with
them?
I think a lot of students kind of stop at this point and they're like, I did it. I found a word and I wrote it down. Okay, my job's done. Well,
that's the problem.
No, like that doesn't mean it's in your head. So now the most important part is to study it. You made this notebook. You need to use it. So develop a system, you know, find a schedule that works for you. An example might be to look at, maybe you have 20 pages in your vocabulary notebook now. So every day, look at 5 pages. And then once a week, look at 10 pages, or find a way to where you are reading and reviewing all the words, you know, 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I think it's really important to make the so we could define this idea of notebook more broadly too, right? Because I remember when I was living in Japan and I was trying to learn hiragana and katakana, right? I took one of those keychains that had, in Japan, they sell these really cool keychains that have little flashcards on the keychain.
Oh, it's like, I saw those in Taiwan too. Yeah.
So I just wrote down the hiragana on the flashcards, and on my train ride home, I would just flip through my keychain.
That's great.
So or putting them around your house, right? Like cutting these pieces out of the notebook and putting them, you know, I don't know, on your sink, on your stove.
Totally.
Just don't catch it on fire.
Don't let it distract you and cause accidents. But that's true.
Yeah.
Like when I was in high school and I had a huge exam coming up in my anatomy class or something, and I had all these things to memorize, I would make study sheets, and I would seriously take them into the shower with me and tape them on the back wall so they wouldn't get wet. And then while I was showering, I would study.
Interesting. So it's kind of a way of making these words a part of your daily life. Instead of just having them be, you know, an academic exercise, we're actually integrating them into our daily life. I love that idea.
So part of the integration is also trying to use them. I think it's really important that people get a study partner. Doesn't have to be a native speaker, but just someone else learning English, just to try and practice these words, you know, try and use them in conversation or use them in a paragraph that you write together. Some way that you could use them in production, in, you know, speaking or writing.
That's right. Yeah, don't attempt to prepare for this exam by yourself in your room, guys.
Just don't.
That's a recipe for disaster. Yeah,
don't stay by yourself in your room for any reason all the time.
Reach out. You know, there are lots of websites out there where you can find a language exchange partner.
Yeah.
You know, I think languageexchange.com, I think, is one. And I know that iTalki actually has a free language exchange in addition to the paid classes.
Yeah, it's a great resource. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, find it, write it down, and use it. I think that's how we can summarize today.
Perfect. Very good. And guys, we're going to come back to these topics later, so don't worry. Yeah. But this just gives you an overview of how to expand that vocabulary range.
Yeah. Perfect. Cool. We should, and we'll have a list of resources also that you can access. So stay tuned. Look for that.
Excellent. Love it. Thanks so much, Jessica. Have a great
one. Thank you, Lindsay. You too. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again, and see you soon.